This week, as we gather with friends and family to give thanks to God, take some time to remember those pilgrims and Indians at that first Thanksgiving. The pilgrims risked much to come to America, and half of them died that first winter. Their dependence on God and their friendship with the Indians, who taught them how to farm and hunt in America, helped them through that difficult first year, and they gave thanks for the harvest. Likewise, we give thanks to God for His rich blessings.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are continuing our sermon series, What Role Should the Government Play in Natural Disaster Relief? And this week, this has even more significance to us, because not only has Florida been hit with Hurricane Ian, but we also were just last week hit with another hurricane. And we see that when these things happen, disasters happen, and there is monetary damage. There is a physical damage that requires money to repair. And what happens, whether it's a hurricane or a wildfire or a tornado or a flood, whatever the natural disaster is, an earthquake, there is a call for a declaration of a state of emergency and a call for the federal government to intervene. And as we have looked in the past few weeks, and you can look at those sermons, you can watch those sermons on our church website, we have seen from the Bible that God does not authorize the government to intervene and to help people out in the time for natural disasters, or really for any means. In fact, the only time that government has ever been authorized by God to help people out was for the preservation of the nation of Israel when there was going to be 7 years of severe famine that followed 7 years of plenty. And Joseph, we know, oversaw that. The wisest man that was alive at the time oversaw it. And still, even with a wise, godly man overseeing that program, you actually see a free nation. The nation of Egypt were a free people, and at the end of it, they were slaves. They were Pharaoh's servants, and they didn't own their land. They didn't have any money. They didn't have any cattle. They didn't have any land. They were just working for Pharaoh, and so you see really the impact of that. And yet that still wasn't where the government takes money from some and gives it to someone else, or takes money from everyone and gives it to a select group of people. It really was, everyone was treated the same. Everyone had to contribute their grain, and also everyone had to buy the grain with first their money, then their livestock, and then their lands. And so we also have seen that, and you might say, well, that sounds so cruel. How can you say that the government shouldn't help people? Well, do you believe the Bible? Are you a Christian? If you are a Christian, you should actually follow the Bible. And you should realize that the Bible speaks to every area of life, including government. God created government. And God then has the authority to define what government can do and what government can't do. And we see that God has not authorized the government to intervene and to help people out. You might think, well, what should happen when people, you know, that's so cruel. How can you say you don't care about people? Well, that's really not true. What the Bible shows is, first of all, people crying out to God for help. And that should be our first instinct, is to cry out to God, and also to repent of our sins and to cry out to Him. And yet also, in addition to crying out to God for on behalf of our sins, we also, and crying out to God to help us, we also can help each other. Those who haven't been impacted can help those who have been impacted. And in this nation, we do that greater than in any other nation, despite the fact that the government is taking money from us to actually intervene and to help people. We're going to talk today, and we actually talked last week and showed that God does judge. Well, two weeks ago, I think we talked about how God judges nations, not just individuals. And also last week, we showed the sins of America, that we have committed the sins and we are guilty and we are deserving of God's judgment in this nation for violating His commandments and His precepts. And again, you can watch those previous sermons on our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center, our church YouTube channel, Covenant Tabernacle. Today, we're going to look at what is the reason, what are the reasons that God judges individuals and nations. And we may get through with this topic today, we may pick it up later, but we're going to look at this here today. And there are many ways and many reasons that God judges individuals and nations. And certainly we definitely will not, and I don't think it's even possible to fully and comprehensively explain everything there is to know about God on this topic of why God judges. One reason we know that God judges is because God is holy. He is righteous. And because He is righteous, He also is a God of wrath. And He brings His vengeance upon the wicked. And He brings His vengeance upon wicked nations as well as wicked individuals. And you might say, well, the Bible says God is love. Certainly the Bible does say God is love. But search, and you can do this, everyone can do this, everyone that's listening, you don't have to have a seminary degree to do this. You don't have to be a minister, a pastor. You don't have to be trained in how to study the Bible. You should be studying the Bible yourself. And every single one of us can go, and there are online programs you can go to on the website. There are apps that you can do this with on your Bible, on your phone or your tablet. If you have a smartphone or a smart tablet on your computer, if you don't have a computer, you can go to the library and do this and actually do searches on the Bible and search for this phrase, God is, and you'll be amazed what God is. God is an angry God. He is angry with the wicked. If the wicked does not turn, He will strike out in judgment upon the wicked. Read about the Bible. Read the Bible and see what God is. God is light. He is a God that not only is He love, but He also is a God that displays wrath. He displays His power. And we're going to read about this in the Bible today. One of the reasons that God judges individuals and nations is to punish sin. And thankfully, when He punishes sin, quite often He punishes us less than what we deserve. Whatever punishment you get, you might think, and remember when you were growing up and when your parents actually disciplined you. And you might think, I remember, crying after being spanked and my dad saying, well, if you don't stop crying, I'm going to give you something to cry about. And we would say, you just did. But the thing is, really, we did get less than what we deserved. And when God judges us, we get less than what we deserve when He judges us as well. And one of the things that we see here when we look at the Bible and look at Ezra chapter 9, verse 13, we read this, and after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great guilt, since You, our God, have punished us less than our iniquity deserves, and have given us such deliverance as this. And what is being discussed there in Ezra chapter 9 is how the people of Israel were continuing to sin, and how they were marrying foreign women who served foreign gods, who served pagan gods. And the Bible, God warned them about this because he didn't want them to be drawn astray by these foreign women. And this is something that you see a warning for, and yet they were doing this. And you see the admonition there. You see that they had been judged. And what was happening in Ezra also is that the people had been judged by God. They had gone into captivity. They had been carried captive. In fact, some of them were killed by the sword. Some died by famine, and some were taken captive. And those who were taken captive were actually there, and they were serving a foreign king in a foreign land. And Ezra was a priest that led people out of captivity back into the promised land, and they were working to rebuild the ruins and rebuild the temple and rebuild the city and reestablish God's people ruling and living in the nation of Israel. They had been judged, yet Ezra says, "You, our God, have punished us less than our iniquity deserves." But our iniquity does deserve punishment. And when we as individuals, when we as a nation sin, we deserve God's judgment, and God does judge to punish sin. God also judges individuals and nations when the land is defiled. And you can read about this. We've read about this multiple times during this sermon series from Leviticus chapters 18 and 20. We're going to read Leviticus 18, verses 24 through 30. Do not defile yourself with any of these things. And what he's talking about there is the sins that preceded verse 24. And these are mostly sexual sins dealing with incest and incestual relationships, and also adultery, and also homosexuality, and also bestiality, and also child sacrifice. We've talked in the past, we talked last week, how in America we're committing these sins. Certainly, some of these sins may not be quite as prominent as other sins, but we do have people committing these sins in America, and we tolerate it. We allow abortion. Even after Roe versus Wade was overturned, they are still killing babies. And in fact, in Florida, they're killing more than they did before. Women are actually traveling to the state of Florida from states where they can't have abortion to kill their innocent children. And so we are committing these sins, but he says, do not defile yourself with any of these, for by all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. For the land is defiled, therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. And so we see here that the land was polluted, the people were polluted, the people of that land were polluted, and the land was polluted. God was bringing his judgment upon them. He was visiting them with punishment, the punishment of its iniquity upon it. The land was defiled. He was visiting the land to punish the people and to cleanse the land. And he says, therefore, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, either you or any of your own nation or any stranger who dwells among you. For all these abominations the men of the land have done who were before you, and thus the land is defiled, lest the land vomit you out also when you defile it, as it vomited out the nations who were before you. For whoever commits any of these abominations, the person who commits them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore, you shall keep my ordinances, so that you do not commit any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and you shall not defile yourself by them. I am the Lord your God. So you see that there are certain sins that defile not only individuals, but defile nations as well, and defile the land and bring God's judgment and God's punishment upon the people because of that. We also see in the Bible that God judges, and this is one of the sins that we see in that Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 20, child sacrifice, which is shedding innocent blood. We see a specific situation, a specific example of this, where we actually see that God judged Israel because they shed innocent blood. In fact, the Bible even says because Manasseh shed innocent blood, very much innocent blood, that the land was defiled, that God would not forgive. This is really the most scary passage in the Bible when we consider that in America, we have shed the blood of over 67 million preborn children and continue to shed innocent blood to this day. Even in, you know, there are some states where abortion is virtually outlawed, but really we have shed blood in the past, and we are continuing to shed blood. And we can look here in 2 Kings chapter 24, verses 2 through 4. And the Lord sent against him raiding bands of Chaldeans, bands of Syrians, bands of Moabites, and bands of the people of Ammon. He sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken by his servants, the prophets. Surely at the command of the Lord, this came upon Judah to remove them from his sight because of the sins of Manasseh, according to all he had done, and also because of the innocent blood that he shed, for he had filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. And here you see this judgment coming upon the nation of Israel. Now, we talked last week that when innocent blood was shed, and we've talked about this in the past as well, when innocent blood was shed, and that the land was polluted. And you read, going even back to Genesis, when Cain killed Abel, that God told Cain that your brother's blood cries out from the ground for vengeance. Just imagine, we have the blood of 67 million preborn children crying out for vengeance. Also, in addition to that, the blood of every person who has committed murder, who has murdered someone, their victims, the blood of those victims are crying out for vengeance, unless that person has been put to death, because that's what needed to happen in order to silence, to cleanse the land, and to silence that blood that's crying out for vengeance. The person who committed that offense, who committed that murder, needs to be actually put to death, needs to be executed. In America today, we are too kind and too gentle to execute murderers. Even mass murderers, many of them, don't go executed. And in many states, murderers are not, the death penalty is not enforced. I remember when I was in Wisconsin that if a person committed murder against another individual that was a citizen, just an ordinary citizen, they could not face the death penalty. But if they killed a law enforcement officer, they could face the death penalty. And certainly, law enforcement officers, their lives are valuable, and we should punish the murder of law enforcement officers. But also the individual, the old lady that's murdered, the young child that's murdered, their lives are valuable as well. Why? Because we are created in God's image. Because we are created in God's image, we are His image bearer. In fact, this is the very reason that the death penalty was instituted, was to protect innocent human life and to, by placing a punishment of death on the person who would commit murder, and no one really in their right mind wants to be put to death. And so placing the penalty of death on as a penalty for murder actually was instituted to protect innocent human life and to cleanse the blood, to silence the blood that was crying out for vengeance. What had happened in Israel is contrary to God's warnings and contrary to the Bible, where God says, do not do any of these, as we just read in Leviticus chapter 18. Do not commit these sins. The children of Israel sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demon spirits. And Manasseh was king when a lot of this was happening. And the Bible says that he shed very much blood. And because of this blood that was shed and filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, again, this is not, he wasn't putting to death murderers. He wasn't putting to death rapists. He wasn't putting to death people that kidnap people. Those are all sins that the Bible says and crimes that the Bible says should bear the death penalty. Manasseh was allowing the priest of Baal, the priest of Asherah, the priest of Moloch, to actually shed the blood of innocent children. Parents were bringing their children to these altars and giving their children to this priest who would actually shed the blood of their innocent child. And what happened after that is that Manasseh at some point heard the word of the Lord, and Manasseh repented of his sins, and Manasseh stopped this practice of shedding innocent blood. And then later on, one of his descendants who rose to the throne, Josiah, who was a young king, actually the priest found the law of God and read the law of God to him, and he tore his clothes because he realized that God's judgment was coming upon Israel for their sins because they had shed innocent blood. And Manasseh, according to the word of the Lord, got all the priests of Baal together and the priest of Moloch together, and he actually executed them. He destroyed the altars that they were using to sacrifice these innocent children. And yet, even with all of that, the Lord would not pardon. Now imagine this. This would be the equivalent of the president of the United States. And really, we don't have a king in this nation. So really, even though the presidents try to do things that they are not really authorized to do, because they're not the legislative branch, they are just the executive branch that is in charge of enforcing the laws that Congress passes. But this would really be the equivalent of doing would be the equivalent of Congress passing a law that would declare that every abortionist who has ever committed abortion would actually be tried, and when convicted, or if convicted, be executed for shedding innocent blood. Now, and then the president would need to enforce that and carry that out, and you would actually have to have these abortionists being put to death. Now, in America, we don't do things like that. We don't actually many of the mass murderers aren't put to death. But we also don't go back when something is legal and then it becomes illegal. We don't go back and prosecute someone for violating a principle in the past. There's also abortionists that are dead. There's no way they have already died of natural means. There's no way of actually executing them. And I'm not talking about an individual going out and shooting an abortionist. What I'm talking about is legal prosecution of someone who has committed murder. And that is what abortion is. It is cold-blooded murder. And the blood of over 67 million preborn children is crying out from the ground for vengeance, and God will avenge in this nation. And this is why this passage is so frightening, that blood is crying out. That blood is crying out and asking for vengeance. And you might think, well, what you're talking about is God's wrath. And God is not a God of wrath. God is a God of love. And again, certainly God is a God of love, but the Bible also says that He is a God of wrath. And if you don't believe that God's a God of wrath in the New Testament, read the book of Revelation. And by the way, it's not the book of Revelations. It's the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, who comes back to earth to judge the nations and to put them to bring punishment upon the wicked because of their sin. And God is a God that brings forth His love, but He also shows forth His wrath. And His wrath is actually, we'll actually look at this further next week. His wrath, when it is displayed, when His judgment comes upon people, it comes upon them to call them unto repentance, but also to restrain those wicked people who refuse to repent, those wicked people who will not turn from their wicked ways, those people who will not turn and will not repent of their sins. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
This week, as we gather with friends and family to give thanks to God, take some time to remember those pilgrims and Indians at that first Thanksgiving. The pilgrims risked much to come to America, and half of them died that first winter. Their dependence on God and their friendship with the Indians, who taught them how to farm and hunt in America, helped them through that difficult first year, and they gave thanks for the harvest. Likewise, we give thanks to God for His rich blessings.
Turn and thank the clouds. Many men will hear you speak. They will never turn around. But I will not forget you, are my God, my King. With a thankful heart I bring my offering and my sacrifices. Not what you can give, but what I alone can give to you.